Welcome back to a new season of Faith and Fame. That's right, y'all. We are kicking off season two of Faith and Fame. And listen, I gotta tell you, I am excited about the lineup of guests that I have for you guys this season. It is going to be incredible. So today, I'm so excited to have my girl, Crystal Pierre, joining me. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this powerhouse, okay? She is the embodiment of Black girl magic. That's right. I cannot wait for you guys to listen to her. But a little bit about her. After years of personal online shopping and a desire to find fashion that stood out among the crowd, Crystal decided to disrupt the fashion industry with her very own flair. Born and raised in a country town of Louisiana, Crystal has built an online fashion house that celebrates diversity, beauty, and confidence. While working her 9-to-5, she switched her focus to entrepreneurship and opened a clothing boutique. In 2016, Crystal took out $1,800 in startup funds and launched her very own online store, Collexus Couture. As a self-taught entrepreneur, Crystal learned everything from merchandising to content creation without any mentorship. Can we say self-made? Crystal's vision for Collexus is to empower women to not only feel beautiful, but to look beautiful while doing so. The success of Collexus is attributed to taking a leap of faith and perseverance. This is Faith and Fame with Brittany Q. Hill. Stay tuned. Welcome, Crystal.
Thank you, Brittany. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. Thank you for joining me on Faith and Fame. Let's go ahead and jump right in. So today's episode, the theme I want to stick to is leaps of faith and perseverance.
Okay.
And with that being said, you are an entrepreneur and creative director, but you're mostly known for your fashion and clothing brand, Collexus, which is now $1 million business. Hey.
Yes, it is. And I am super, super excited about that. It took a long time to get here, but I am here.
I love it. Awesome. Well, let's start there. Take us on the journey from where it all began, you taking that initial big leap of faith to where you are now.
And, you know, Brittany, just being able to tell my story, I'm just always very excited just to share it with everyone and just to let everyone know, like, really the background of Collexus and how we've grown into what we are today. So I started my business. When I started my business, I was Collexus Couture. And I started the business in February 2016. When I started Collexus Couture, I started at my house, working out of my home, single mom. My son was 3 years old when I started the business, still working a full-time job. And basically, when I started the business, before the online boutiques became really, really popular on like social media, I would order a lot from just random places. Just if I saw things that was cute, I wanted to try it, I will order it, it would come in, and then the quality would just be horrible. And so one day I kind of made a joke and I was like, you know, I probably could do this. But at that time in my life, you know, I didn't know anything about being an entrepreneur, business owner. You know, my parents definitely didn't come from that background. I was always told, you know, go to school, graduate, get a job, retire, you know, work the rest of your life, and that's the happy ending. I never even imagined that I could be an entrepreneur and that I can have my own business and that it would even be what it is today. So started the business, did all the paperwork, you know, started ordering clothes. And at that time, I didn't have a clue of what I was doing. I literally jumped in blind, not knowing anything. And as a result of that, the first year was a complete failure. All the money that I invested into the business basically was a total loss. I didn't really know anyone. I didn't really have access to a lot of resources. At that time, social media was taking off, but I basically had to build my platform from the bottom. And so, you know, I basically started at the bottom, fed my business. I kept my 9-to-5 job. My 9-to-5 job is really what funded the business. I would take money that I was making from my paychecks and, you know, I may order one or two pieces here and there. And I would order it. The items was not selling at all. But for some reason, you know, something told me just to keep going and to keep doing it. Even though I wasn't getting any sales, No one knew who I was. I wasn't getting any orders. Definitely not the support that I'm getting now. It was just really, really hard. And it was like just a very big struggle for me, especially being a single mom, trying to work, trying to raise my son at the same time. But something told me, you know, just keep going. It's going to get better. Keep going. And so first year, complete wash. Nothing came out of it. It was just basically me putting money into something that didn't work. So it was a big loss for me. 2017, I came back. And when I came back, I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. But this time I'm going to do it different and I'm going to make some changes. And one of the biggest change that I made, I became the model. Prior to that, I was either posting the vendor picture or I would get one of my friends to do it here and there, but it was never on a consistent basis. And so basically I became the model. And when I put the clothes on, the clothes started selling. And what I did was the money that I was making, I was taking that money and I was dumping it right back into Collections Couture at that time. And I kept being very consistent. I started showing up on social media. I started networking, meeting other entrepreneurs in a business that was basically doing the same thing I was doing and basically both just trying to get it out of the mud. And I just kept going and I kept getting better. I can honestly say that I've taken a lot of small steps, but all of those small steps, you know, over time, all of that adds up. And so I did that, Brittany, for literally, I will say I did that for about 3 years, you know, going to work in the morning. I would get up before it was work time, take photos in my garage. My garage was my studio. I had turned it into a studio where I would take pictures. I was taking the pictures with my iPhone. You know, I didn't have like a photographer or anyone even coming in. It was just a one-man show, me running this business out of my home in the garage. I was fulfilling orders. I was doing the inventory, packaging orders, taking the pictures, all while I was balancing a 9-to-5 career and I was a single mom. Just, you know, I've been through so much to grow my business. And I would say probably the first 2.5 years, it was just straight me dumping money into the business. Like, I can honestly sit here and be transparent and say it was a cash eating monster for a long time before I could actually see any profit. But like I always tell people, you know, if you're passionate about it, God is going to make a way and you're going to find a way to keep it going. And that's exactly what I did. And when I got to 2018, end of 2018, that's where I hit my crossroad. And at that time, I was just have been asking God, you know, if this is for me, give me a sign, you know, give me a sign. Had been praying about it for probably 6 months straight, no lie. And, you know, working a job, you know how things can get, you know, things just started shifting for me. And it was like everything at work started going wrong. I've always been an employee that has always done extremely well, highly respected in the department, you know, just always did what I was supposed to do. But it just seems like things kept happening. It was one thing after another. And in December of 2018, something happened at my job and it like really disturbed me. Got called in the office and, you know, my boss threatened to take me to HR behind some he say, she say stuff. Nothing came of it. But that was the first time I actually went outside and cried while I was on the job. I had been there almost 10 years. And at that point, I just knew that it was God giving me my sign, telling me it was time to go. And so I literally took that leap of faith. And 2 days later, I put in my resignation. I left. A week later, I was on a plane to Las Vegas to go to a retail trade show. And I came back 3 months later. I had made my salary. And at that time, I was very afraid to leave because, you know, I had a good job, you know, paying good money, was paying the bills. But I was also afraid because that was my safety net. You know, I had a son that was dependent on me and I didn't know really and truly what the business was going to do. But my business had taken off and I didn't even know, you know. So I came back 3 months later, I had made my salary. And so I kept going and I never looked back since then, you know.
Wow.
So I know that was like a large spill, but like that was just me telling you my story and telling you how I've even gotten to this point. Like it's been a lot, you know. But I always tell people, if it's something you want, do it and do it scared, and you'll figure out a way to make it happen.
That is incredible. Wow. Okay, so let's unpack all that. There were a few things that you said that struck me the most. The first one, I want to talk about the concept of divine frustration. I talk about this to my friends all the time. But you said there was a moment at your job where, you know, your boss called you out on something. You had been there for 10 years and he made you so upset.
It was actually a she.
She made you upset. And looking back, you can kind of see it as a divine frustration moment that God was using to kind of catapult you out of something into something greater.
Brittany, you are so right. And I think at that time I was upset. But when I look at it today, I thank God, I even thank her at this point that all of that happened, because had it not happened, I would have been comfortable and I would have been there and I probably would have retired from there. And I truly believe when something is for you, God will make a way and he's going to make you uncomfortable. So it's going to force you to do what you need to do in order to get on your path. And I truly believe that's what happened with me.
Absolutely. I think sometimes we as believers give the enemy too much credit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we try to elude every mishappenstance or whatever that happens. Oh, it's the devil. The devil did this. But sometimes God will allow you to be frustrated just so that he can push you into your destiny. And I just think that is so powerful.
Absolutely. And like, I truly love telling my story, because it also lets people know, you know, things are never going to be perfect. But if you put in the time, the hard work, the dedication, something's going to come out of it. You know, you just have to keep going and you have to keep pushing and getting better with time.
Absolutely. That's incredible. Okay, we got to keep going. The second thing that you said that struck me was, I always talk about, if you're going to bet on anything, bet on yourself.
Yes.
And I heard you say that, you know, your business was kind of like not really doing much until you became your own model.
Yep.
And things skyrocketed. And I just think that is such a beautiful example of what it means to really bet on yourself.
Yes. And like for me, you know, I always tell people, you know, you really do have to bet on yourself and take that chance. You know, you may not get the results right away, but if you continue to keep going, something will happen. And for me, you know, I never considered myself a model. You know, I'm very thick, I'm very curvy. But once I started modeling my clothes, I realized everybody's not a size 2. And there's a lot of women out there that may look like me or can relate to me. And that's how I was able to draw my audience. And so in a sense, it really worked out for me, because, you know, it blew my business, you know? So.
Yeah, you hit on something just now. I have a close friend who also has a clothing line in its early stages. And, you know, when he was starting to put out the first season of his clothing, nobody was like purchasing his items, and he was posting on social media. And I remember telling him, I believe the issue is that you're not giving them anything that they can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, if you're going to pull your consumer in, you got to give them something that they can identify and relate to. Otherwise, what's making you different from the next?
Yes. And like one thing I had to learn too, I had to learn to just show up as myself, you know. And I truly think when you show up as yourself and you let people see who you are, people can see that. And a lot of people can relate to that. And that you can really play off of that. And that's what I've done with my business. Just growing my following on social media, I've been very transparent with my audience. And a lot of women see that as, well, if she can do it, I can do it too. You know, she really started at the bottom and basically built her business by, you know, just starting at the bottom and just kept going and kept getting better. And a lot of people can really relate to that, you know, just show up as you. I feel like if you show up as yourself, your people will come.
Ooh, that's a word all by itself. If you show up as yourself, your people will come.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! That is so powerful. We need to tweet that. That was great. Okay, and then one of the last things that you mentioned that stood out to me, where you shared about kind of exhausting your finances to fund this business. And so my question for you, let's just talk about money for a second, because the truth is that it takes money to make money, right?
Absolutely.
So for those aspiring fashion designers or clothing brand owners who are just starting out and don't know how to obtain the funding they need to get started, where would you suggest would be a great place that they start?
Honestly, I feel like if you have access to capital, you know, that you have access to, maybe you may have it in savings. You may be able to get a loan through the bank or something like that. I would suggest starting there. If you have people that want to invest into your business, you know, people that you may know or people may see your idea and say, hey, I want to invest into that. You know, you can start there. But for me, I basically, and, you know, I didn't exhaust all the money, but I did invest a lot of money in order to build it. And basically, I just kept pouring money into it that I had in savings, you know, that I had worked all those years and had just accumulated, you know. And that's what I did. But I think it's extremely hard if you don't have access to the capital and you don't have the resources that you need, the information. Like, that was one of the biggest things for me. It's just not knowing where I could get money and not use my own money, or even, you know, trying to get a loan through the bank, you know, and the banks is really hard. You know, you have to have them there, A1 credit, but, you know, it's just having the information. You know, if you have the information, you know what to do with it. And for me, I didn't have the information. So I basically had to fund my own business and just build it off of the money that was coming in. And I kept dumping it back into the business. And eventually things started growing.
Awesome. Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's insightful. Now, staying on the topic of money, because you do own what is now a $1 million business.
Yes, ma'am. And I never did put that out there. So you're getting an exclusive, Brittany.
Hey, well, you heard it here first. The brand is now a $1 million company. And we know the saying, more money, more problems.
Absolutely.
So my next question is, even in the midst of all your success, what are still some of the hurdles that you still experience from time to time?
Okay, I would say some of the hurdles that I experience, there may be times where I may order something and I may think this is going to sell like hotcakes, and it comes in and then it doesn't fly off the shelf, and then I may take that loss. And I can even use this as an example. I want to say back in 2017, maybe 2018, early that year, this was during January. At that time, I didn't know it's usually a slow season because people are trying to bounce back from Christmas and New Year's. So everybody's trying to basically get their money back. Well, I had put out a ton of money on inventory that I had ordered from outside of the U.S., ordered all the inventory. All of the inventory got held up in customs. And so by the time, you know, a month and a half later, when I got the inventory, we was going into a new season. And so all that money that I had spent was a loss, you know, and I basically had to swallow that pill and say, okay, I didn't make the return on my investment, but eventually the money came down the road, you know. And sometimes you will take that loss up front, but you got to be able to take the losses with the wins.
Absolutely. Say that again.
Take the losses with the wins.
Absolutely. That's right. Okay. All right, cool. So let's switch gears. Because mm-hmm. this is a show about faith and how faith has played a role in your success, I want to take some time to just kind of focus on that. I know that you are a believer and really big on paying it forward when God has been good. So mm-hmm. what exactly does paying it forward look like for you? And why is that so important?
I'm actually glad that you brought that up, Brittany, because I think it's very important as a business owner, leader, entrepreneur, whatever you are. I think it's important when God is good to you and God is blessing you that you bless somebody else. I'm very big on giving back. making a positive impact on my community and just doing whatever I can to help. I feel like when you do things like that to make people feel good, to show them that you care, you know, it eventually comes back to you. So for me, I'm going to always be very big on giving back, doing what I can to help the community and help the people that's around me. And so recently, you know, we had Hurricane Ida here in Louisiana, big devastation. And the town that I grew up in, Vashon, Louisiana, they were impacted really, really, really hard for the hurricane. And when I went down there and I saw all the damage, you know, I still have family that lived there. You know, they was without power for weeks. You know, people didn't have access to generators and all of that stuff. And I was just like, what can I do just to help? And so I literally put together something in collaboration with some community leaders and another entrepreneur, and basically just went down there and just said, you know, show up, come get a free meal. I just want to do this just to show you guys it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this, you know. And it wasn't a big deal, but the people came and they were truly grateful. And it was just happy to see just the smiles on their face. Everybody was grateful that I did it. And for me, success is not always about, you know, the glitz and the glam. For me, true success is about what you're doing to impact people, to make their lives better, and to make a positive impact on your community.
That's beautiful. That is so beautiful. How is, you know, your family and everything now after the hurricane?
Okay, so when the hurricane came, I didn't have any damage to my house nor Calexis headquarters, but my family, they actually came and stayed with me for a week. And even right now, I have a friend that's still staying with me because her home is still damaged. They have power, but the home has to be reconstructed. So, you know, I just, you know, I did what I needed to do for my family, my friends, and my community. Even though I was shut down, you know, no orders was coming in, nothing was going on over here. And I was like, you know, I can't let that get me down. Let me step up and see what I can do to help the people that really were impacted. And so that's what I did.
Wow. Isn't it an incredible feeling to be able to serve as a vessel?
It's a great feeling, you know, it's a really great feeling. And just knowing that I'm helping somebody else and making somebody else's life better and letting them know that, hey, I'm here for you, I care, that makes me feel good. You know, it makes me feel really good to be able to do that.
That's beautiful. All right. So next question. We both know as entrepreneurs, the life of an entrepreneur is not all sunshine and rainbows.
No, it is not at all.
Nothing is guaranteed. And even in the climate of our world right now, with so much civil unrest and just everybody is against everybody, what do you do on a day-to-day basis to keep your faith intact and to keep yourself spiritually fed?
I'm going to be honest. I talk to God a lot, you know. A lot of times whenever I have things going on, I don't get on the phone and make all these phone calls and call all these different people I used to back in the day. But now I really do make time to like just sit down and have a conversation with God. And I tell him what I'm going through and somehow things work out. You know, I also think that it's important that you have to make that balance between work, life, family, all that has to balance out. A lot of times we as entrepreneurs and business owners, we feel like we have to constantly keep going and never stop. Me personally, I take one day out of the week just to do something for myself, just so that I can keep my sanity, because things can get really crazy. And I feel like it's important that you take care of yourself so that you can do what you need to do to make sure everybody else is getting what they need.
Absolutely. You cannot pour from an empty vessel.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is beautiful. A friend of mine said the other day that it's important for us to keep our cups full, and it's up to me as to who I decide to pour my cup into. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I have to keep myself spiritually fed and my cup full is because that cup belongs to me. I can only give to you from my overflow.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. So.
And I think it's important too, like you were saying, you know, you're pouring from a cup. You may need to be poured in at some point, you know. Eventually, if you're constantly pouring and no one is pouring into you, you know, it can take a toll on you. So, you know, it's important for us to not only pour into other people, but we need to be poured into as well. We go through things too, you know. And that's what I tell people, just because it may look like everything's perfect, you know, I have things that I deal with on a daily basis that no one knows about, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I get it. Okay. So, lastly, I like to finish with something I call an elevator sermon. So, I'm going to ask you
Okay.
to give us a quick 30-second to a minute-long sermon for our listeners when it comes to taking a leap of faith and perseverance. And it's whatever God leads you to share.
Okay. So for me, I always tell people, and this has been my new tagline, I don't care what it is you want to do. I don't care how big or how small it may be. Do it and do it scared. And the reason why I say do it scared is because when you go in, you may go in not knowing anything, but as you go along, things are going to get better. Things are going to get easier, and you're going to be constantly learning all these different things over time. And I just think it's important to sometimes you do have to step out on faith and go with your move and don't look back. You know, there may be times when you're scared or you may feel like you can't do it. You really like you can't second guess yourself. If it's something that you want to do, do it. If it don't work out, figure out a way to fix it and keep moving forward. So I would say do it and do it scared.
Woo! That was so good. Let me tell you why that word was so timely. Just last week, the church that I go to, that I'm the executive producer of, we hosted a creative showcase and we asked for everybody to come out and bless us with their talents if they're interested in the creative ministry. And there was this older man by the name of Tom who came in with his guitar. And as we're asking everybody what they're here to do, his response was, "I'm here to play my guitar and I'm here to do it scared."
I
It,
love
but it was
love it.
beautiful because we talked about it and he said, "I can only do what I can do, and I have to trust that God will do the rest."
Yes, absolutely. And I truly believe when it's for you, God is going to make a way. God is going to make a way, you know, and it's going to all work out.
That's amazing. Well, Crystal, thank you so much for blessing us with your presence on this episode today. Do me a favor and tell everyone how they can find you and follow your movement.
Okay, so you can find me, Calexis. We are on Instagram and Facebook at Calexis Couture. That's going to be KalexisKouture on Instagram and Facebook. Also, you can find us. We have a website. The website is www.KalexisK.com. That's KalexisK.com. And that's where I'm at 24/7.
Hey, Crystal, you are fantastic. Thank you so much again for being on the show. Do us a favor and close us out.
I am Crystal Pierre, and you are listening to Faith and Fame.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Faith and Fame with Brittany Q. Hill. Be sure to subscribe and make sure to rate us 5 stars on iTunes. See you next week.